Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come this morning as we come once again just to open up your word, study your word together. I ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts this morning. Challenge our hearts, exhort us in our spirit to be women who are on the journey to godliness. Father, I pray that you would speak very personally into our lives this morning. I pray that you would say something that has our name on it. And I pray, Father, that you will bless every home represented in this room. I pray, God, for you to, as we meet with you during the week, speak to us. Speak to us as we're reading your word together. And I pray, Father, if the ladies here have not committed to that, I pray that you will just stir their hearts up to hunger, to want to do that. Now, Father, just we pray that you will go with us now as we journey together in your word, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, yes.
Thank all y'all who helped with my yes. brother.
It was so sweet. Her funeral was so sweet. She was so special.
It went exactly how
everybody wanted it to be. I know. It was a bliss.
It was.
Well, good.
It was a joyous
day. It really was. It was a celebration. All right. Thank you, Katie. We sure do love your grandmother. She was very precious. Well, welcome back to our study this morning. This is our fifth lesson that we're having out of a book by David Mathis called Habits of Grace. I am loving this study. To me, it is so nourishing, and I'm loving teaching it to you this morning. But I want to begin this morning with just a quick review of all that we've seen so far. So get your handout out if you like a handout. If you don't like a handout, just get it and read the scripture off of it. But in our very first lesson, we started out just talking about the subject of God's amazing, wonderful grace. We said it was by grace. There God was. His grace was moving at creation when he spoke. And all through, even the fall, and then came Adam, and then Noah, and then Abraham, all the way to King David, God was preparing a way. And all humanity in the Old Testament was waiting, and they were waiting, as their prophets prophesied about the grace that was coming. And look on your handout at 1 Peter 1:10. Peter expressed it this way. Here's what Peter said. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. They were wondering. They were making prophecies. Who are we prophesying about? And then Paul speaks about it in Galatians 4:4. Look at that on your handout. Here's what Paul says. In the fullness of time, at just the right time, the grace of God appeared. And we find out there that grace had a face. Grace became flesh. Grace was a person. And grace brought us salvation in Jesus. He was grace contained in a body. And we were saved through him by grace. By grace we were made right with God. It was all by grace. It was all a gift. And those who have experienced the grace of God are led into a life where they learn to think rightly and to live rightly. God's grace truly has marvelous effects on our lives. Experiencing the grace of God in the person of Jesus is really a life-transforming, radical, direction-changing event in your life. And it's all accomplished by grace. You're saved by grace. And then after you're saved, you will walk in your salvation as a newborn believer by God's grace too. From beginning to end, the Christian life is nothing more than grace. And so this study is all about how we can put ourselves in the path of God's grace. How we can position ourselves to be the recipients of God's grace. I love the illustration from our first lesson. See if you remember it. I can walk into a room and I can flip on a switch and light will fill that room. But I cannot tell you at all where that electricity is coming from. I have no idea how that electricity gets into my house. In the same way, I can go to my kitchen sink, I can turn the faucet at my sink, but I have nothing to do with the water that flows out of that faucet when I turn it on. And here's my point. There will be no light and there will be no water unless someone else is making the provision. And so it is for the Christian and the ongoing grace of God. His grace is absolutely essential for our spiritual lives, but we do not control the supply of the grace of God. I cannot make the favor of God flow in my life. It's just another way of saying I can't make the grace of God flow. But here's the point of our book. God has given us certain circuits to connect. God has given us certain pipes that we can open expectantly. And these are what we are calling the paths that lead to the grace of God. Now I want to say something again. You can do nothing to earn God's grace. It's free, it's unmerited, but you can put yourself in the pathways that lead to the keeping on receiving of His lavish grace as He keeps on giving it. And you and I can fight to walk in these paths where He has promised His blessing. And these paths really aren't very fancy. I mean, they're just ordinary, everyday stuff of life, basic Christianity 101. They don't sound that impressive, but they're actually spectacularly powerful in our lives. Let's write them down. Number one, we said, is the Word of God. Number two is prayer. And number three is fellowship. See, I told you. They sound so ordinary, don't they? Teresa, come on. Can't you do better than that? Well, I've been around these three things all my life. They may seem as unimpressive as everyday light switches and water faucets, but it's through them that God regularly stands ready to give us His true light and His living water. Now, here's the deal. The wise woman takes God at His word and builds habits of spiritual life around these three things. Now, we said the Christian life is somewhat a paradox, and we see it in Philippians chapter 2. Look at it on your handout. Here's what Paul says. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do you see the paradox in that those verses? Paul says, Teresa, work your salvation out. Work it out. Do it with fear and do it with trembling. That's right. It's going to require all of me. It's going to require maximum effort on my part. And yet, Paul says, Teresa, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So here's the paradox. Let's write it down. We are to work our salvation out while the power of God is working within. This is the aim of the Christian life. Paul certainly understood this, because look at 1 Corinthians 15:10 on your handout. Here's what he said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's free. It's unmerited. What I am, I'm that by the grace of God. But then notice, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. Do you see it? The paradox. Everything he is by grace, and yet he works harder than anyone else. Paul, is it you or is it God? And the answer is, God's grace was flowing, and I responded to it by laboring more than anyone else. So Christian life, it's all of me. I'm surrendering to God. I'm growing more and more in the likeness of our beautiful Lord Jesus. And all through the process of that growth, it's all grace. Grace is the very air we breathe. It's the foundation we stand on. I cannot for one minute make it without the grace of God. And so this study is a call for us to walk in pathways that will lead us to greater measures of his grace in our lives. Is that something you want this morning? Do you want your life to bring God maximum glory? Now, for the last few weeks, we've been exploring that first one on our list, the Word of God. The Bible. There's countless ways of getting into the Word of God. Well, Teresa, can you tell me why this life-changing habit of circling my life daily around God's Word is so important? And I'll tell you why. It leads to joy. Now, is that something you want in your life? It leads to you having communion with God. To knowing the very God of the universe, to experiencing him. How wonderful that we can know him. So the first place we begin is with the Word of God, its first base. Developing any new habit at first can seem awkward, and so as you're developing skills of getting in your Bible every day, it may feel awkward too, but our goal through this study is to develop rhythms in our time that circle around the Word of God. We want to get good at it. We want to take the training wheels off of the bicycle, so to speak. So where did we begin? Well, we just began with, we said, raking the leaves. That's right. It's as easy as raking leaves. It doesn't take a lot of skill. It's just getting your Bible, getting a plan, and reading your Bible. You get a plan, you work your plan, you do it every day. It's that simple. And as you do this, this will lead you to your flower beds, because your flower beds are going to need a little more attention. And you're going to have to dig in your flower beds. And that's what happens when you read your Bible. It leads to deeper study in God's Word. And it's like digging, it's a little harder. But as you dig, you discover diamonds. And it causes you to wonder. And it causes you to worship God. Now, I have to mention the X Factor. Y'all remember the X Factor? You see, when you sit with your Bible, there is this mysterious and strange and puzzling, difficult to understand power that stirs on the pages of Scripture. Something supernatural happens as we put God's text before our eyes. Someone unseen begins to move. He's hovering over the Word of God. In fact, he's the very author of the Word of God. And his name is the Holy Spirit. So put that on your handout. And he is our helper. He takes God's Word and he makes it ours. And even as you're just setting out to be a woman who just simply reads the Word of God, it's grace that the Holy Spirit is there helping you. We're totally dependent on Him to minister to us and to satisfy our souls. And so the Holy Spirit is there. He's laboring mysteriously outside of our control. And I put this statement on your handout. I want you to remember it. When we get alone with the Word of God, we are not alone. So as you set your time and you sit there with your Bible, be conscious that the Holy Spirit is there. Be aware of that. He hovers over the Word of God with special care. He is powerful. He will lead us to worship God in spirit and truth as we're reading God's Word. Now, last week we talked about another path to the grace of God. So first we just said, read it. Just read it. Get a plan and read it. Now, if you didn't get a plan, I suggested four plans. They're on the table. Get you a plan as you walk out the door today. But then last week we added another path to the grace of God, and it's the art of meditation. I loved our lesson last week. Write this on your handout. Meditation is the missing link between the Word of God and prayer. Meditation is like being invited by God Himself to come in out of the cold and warm ourselves by the fire and sit with Him for a while and listen to Him. It happens as we're in the Word of God. It happens when the Holy Spirit will single out a verse or single out a portion of Scripture, and He causes you to stop. Maybe it's a very familiar portion, but suddenly you haven't never seen it that way before. And it causes us to stop and chew on that for a while. Because our goal of being in the Word each day, it's not about doing a plan. Okay, I did my day today. Let me check the box. It's not about checking a box. It's about meeting and communing with the God of the universe. And if He wants us to stop, and He wants us to chew, so what if we don't get through that day? Just learn to be flexible. Learn to go with it. Learn to meditate. Grab your pen. Grab your journal. Write down what God is saying. Stop. Worship Him. Let it lead you into wonder, into awe, into worship. Let's write something else down about meditation. It is just thinking deeply on the truths and spiritual realities that are revealed in the Bible. And then add this. It's actually the high point of being in God's Word. It's why you're there. You want God to speak. Here's a biblical definition out of Colossians 3:16. It's letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we said last week, our ultimate goal is to become like Joshua. God told Joshua, I want you to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And if you will, Joshua, you will be bold and courageous. And you will be able to do all that I'm calling you to do. And so we start with simply committing to being in the Word of God each day. And then we're going to hear it taught. We're going to come to Sunday school. We're going to hear it preached. We're going to go to worship service. That all leads us to deeper study, which leads to meditation. Now that brings us to today's lesson. And I wrote on your handout the title of this chapter, and I love the title. It's called Bring the Bible Home to Your Heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, here's the question to think about in today's lesson. Read it with me on your handout. What effect or what application should regular Bible intake have on our hearts and lives And how does that happen? Now, I hope I'm going to answer that question for you in the next few minutes. Let's put some claims of the Bible on our handout. Here's number one. Here's a claim of the Bible. It claims that the whole Bible is for the whole church. This is the claim of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Because look what it says. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Circle that word, all. Old Testament, New Testament. All of it's breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Paul says, now these things, when he says these things, he's talking about the Old Testament. These things in the Old Testament took place as examples for us in the New Testament, that we might not desire evil as they did. And then jump to verse 11. They, the things in the Old Testament, were written down for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. That's us. Look at Romans 15, 4. Whatever was written in former days. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. It was written for our instruction that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The whole Bible is for us. Here's a second thing to put down. Two words. We should come to God's word. Words expecting them to be, first of all, understandable. Understandable. You should be able to come to God's word and understand it. And not only understand it, but look, they should be applicable. So that's your second word. They should be understandable and applicable. Now, I mentioned the Puritans last week. I'm going to quote another Puritan this week. His name is Thomas Watson. He was a preacher. And here's what he said. He said, take every word as spoken to yourselves. When the word thunders against sin, think thus. God means my sins. And when it presses any duty, think God intends me in this. Many put off scripture from themselves as if it only concerned those who lived in the time when it was written. But if you intend to profit by the word, bring it home to yourselves. A medicine will do no good unless it is applied. I like that. Let's write down a third claim. Take every word as spoken to yourself. And I just pulled that out of his quote. Let this thought become an anchor, and let's write down two points for our anchor. Seek to understand how God's words fell on the original hearers, and then number two, then bring it home to yourself. Bring it home to yourself. Write this down, number four. Expect application to your life. You see, as God speaks through the Spirit-illumined understanding of what the inspired human author said to his original readers in the biblical text. So today's Path to Grace is the application of Scripture. That's what David Mathis means when he says, take God's word home to your heart. You see, encounters with God's word should include application to my life. Why am I in it if there's no application? Now, look at James 1:22 on your handout. We all want to do what James 1:22 says. We want to be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? That's right. That's very noble for us to say, God, I don't want to just be a hearer of your word. I want to be a doer of your word. I want to make application of God's word in my life. But I'm going to suggest to you this morning, it's more than you just getting in the Word and making a list of do's and don'ts. It isn't quite that simplistic, and I want you to stay with me here. I want you to see how Paul prays in several places in the Bible. You're going to hear him pray, but you'll never hear him say, "Lord, just give them a simple list of commands to obey." That's not what he says. No, he prays for wisdom, for discernment, that we'll understand what God's will is. Because you know what? There are literally thousands of decisions that come to us every day. And you know how we live our lives? We just live our lives spontaneously. And we're making those daily decisions on the fly. We're just going and instantly we're deciding to do this, go there, do that. We don't have time to stop and think, now what should I say? Or have reflection. We just are acting. And our lives are just flowing out of the kind of person I am. Right? What's in my heart is just naturally coming out. Now listen to how Paul prays for us. Let's look at a few of his prayers. Let's start with Romans 12:2. He prays that you will be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And then in Philippians 1, look at that with me. Verses 9 and 10, he prays that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And one of my very favorite prayers comes out of Colossians 1, 9 and 10. I pray this for my grandchildren every day. I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now let's write a few things down. This is the point. I hope you're feeling it. Number one, Paul isn't praying for specific actions. He's not praying for specific actions. He wants to see us formed into the kind of persons who are able to discern. They can discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And then they act in the light of it. And that's Ephesians 5:10, where Paul says, try to learn to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now listen to this quote by Pastor John Piper. He says, a godly life is lived out of an astonished heart, a heart that is astonished at grace. We go to the Bible to be astonished, to be amazed at God, to be amazed at Christ and the cross and His grace and the gospel. You see, the application that is most important to pursue as we come to God's Word is this word astonishment. I love that. Let God's Word wow you. So write that down for number five. Be astonished at God's Word. When was the last time you sat with your Bible and you were just blown away by God's Word? You were absolutely in wonder because of God's Word. Maybe you saw something about the gospel you've never seen before. Maybe you just got so taken up with something He said, and it just caused you to be astonished and to worship. You see, application is a lot more than me just making a list. Do this, don't do this. It's learning to let God's Word change the person I am, and I have discernment, and I'm learning to know what it is that pleases the Lord in my life. And then as I'm going through my day, making all those decisions that are just coming at us all the time, I'm making them out of a heart that is astonished at God, and I know what pleases Him. He calls this pressing the Scriptures to your souls. And as you're in God's Word, pray, God, God, would you just awaken my affection for your Word as I taste it? You see, it's hard for me to speak it, but as you get in it and you begin to taste how sweet it is, it just increases your hunger for more. That's why you start with that little 5x5x5 plan. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Every one of us can do that. It's just a starting place. Start there. And as you start and you're doing 5 minutes, you say, Lord, would you give me a hunger to go deeper? Would you help me to be a godly woman? Awaken my affections to where I'm tasting your word and I want more. This is what David Mathis means when he says, bring the Bible home to your heart. And really, it's just another way of saying the word meditation, isn't it? Letting your heart be freshly captivated by the grandeur of God and His gospel. Coming away from our time in God's Word and coming away with a soul that is deeply satisfied in Christ. My circumstances may have not changed one iota, but my soul is richly satisfied. It's something that flavors your life. It's something that changes your decision-making processes. It affects everything about you. It makes your soul very deeply happy in the Lord. Coming to the Scriptures, coming to see, to feel, you're coming to experience God, not to check a box on a reading plan. So you can say, well, I'm a good Christian, I'm reading the Bible. No, you're coming to commune with the living God. Look at this other John Piper quote on your handout, and then we'll be done. He says this, the Bible is gloriously for us, but it is not mainly about us. We come most deeply because of whom we will see, not for what we must do. Become a kinder person. Don't amass a long list. He means of do's and don'ts. Become a kind of person. And as you're going into the world, you will be a light. You will, as you go, you will manifest the fragrance of Christ everywhere you go. Bringing the Bible home is a pathway to flourishing. It's a way to enter into fresh stores of the grace of God. So this morning I want to challenge you. Make your goal to be astonished. You come to God's Word. First of all, say, Holy Spirit, I recognize you are here. You're hovering over God's Word. Would you astonish me this morning? Would you work in my heart? Would you change my person? I want to get in your word and I want it to apply to me. An application of God's word to our lives prepares us for God's blessing of our souls. So here's the bottom line of today's lesson. When we bring God's word home to our hearts and then apply God's word to our lives through an amazed and a changed heart, it becomes a means of grace to us. God loves to bless the true application of His word in our lives, and it's a rich, rich thing. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you would make us women as we come to your word. that you would make us women, first of all, committed to coming, and then as we come, acknowledging your Spirit is there, he's full of grace, and then as we come with you, wow us with your word. Father, I pray that we would taste it. I pray, God, that it would satisfy our souls. And I just ask your blessing on these ladies as they start their reading plans, as they're involved in their reading plans, as we come to your word, as we are raking the leaves simply, as we saw in that picture. I pray that you would bless, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'll see you next week.